Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 25. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You see, people don't recognize God even when he does show up. This man had a little background because his family did have some biblical moorings, but for some reason that wasn't the way he went. He didn't go into any detail. My point is this: if we don't tell them, they won't know. Hard to tease it out when the sky is falling. Hard to tease it out when there's somebody slapping you in the face or everything's a mess. And so I say to you that even as Christian and faithful in the Pilgrim's Progress, we're in the Vanity Fair. They said, "Why won't you buy our wares?" And it says, "We buy the truth." Quoting from the Proverbs 23. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For they that have used the office of deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree, great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." We just went through this in our Wednesday night study, verse by verse, and we realized that when it says they that have used the office of the deacon is only one word. It's a verb that has the idea of those deaconing. Doesn't mean they've used it. It means they were doing it before they were ever installed in the office. They were people running around kicking up the dust and doing what they could. Those deaconing have already purchased to themselves great boldness and a good degree in the faith. And how did they purchase? Well, they purchased it by spending their time, investing themselves. And everybody around them knew that that's the kind of person they were. They were a deacon before they ever got installed in that office. If you were to parse out Ephesians, you'd find it talks about this as well. And we will look at that here in a minute to kind of amplify the idea of how do you go buy oil? Well, see, you can have oil and then you can have no oil. And then if a person has oil, meaning the Holy Spirit's released in their lives more, it's because they've made the investment. You see, you get born again by knowledge. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You don't get saved by osmosis. Oh, I want to be. But if you don't know how you can be, then you cannot appropriate what is said in the Scriptures. The Bible says in verse 9, they said, "No, go buy for yourselves some oil, lest we have not enough." Verse 10 says, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Now that sounds pretty intense. Seems like an easy thing to overcome, but we know the door being shut by the bridegroom is a pretty big deal. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." There are going to be people shut out. All the way back in Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says many are going to come in that day and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in your name?" And he will say, "I never knew you." The Bible says, and I mentioned this a moment ago, I'll read it again for context. Matthew 22, verses 2 and 3, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king gave a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." That's powerful, isn't it? Come on to the wedding. The king's son is getting married. Come to the wedding. "I beg your pardon, have me excused." What? Because that's what they did. So in verse 9 of chapter 22, he says to his servants, he says, "Go ye also therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid them to the marriage." And the Bible says that they did that. The house was full, and then one came in, but he didn't have a wedding garment on. And some have said, well, that means they weren't saved. Didn't have a wedding garment. Maybe you see that as the righteousness of Christ, that they haven't embraced it. They haven't put on the robes of Christ. Because, you know, when you go to Jesus and you get saved, we are in him. The Bible says, in him we have forgiveness. In him we have redemption. In him we have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. In him we have redemption. Listen, salvation is a huge deal. You can't fake it. And you can't figure it out on your own. The Ethiopian eunuch sitting there reading after worshiping in Jerusalem, he's reading Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed." And on it goes. Philip comes up to the side. He says, "Do you understand what you read?" He said, "How can I except somebody guide me?" You and I are the guides for people who are going to be here when this thing happens. And we need to be mindful and live as if that's true, because there are people depending on us to get it right. So we see in verse 11, it says, afterwards, these virgins came back and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And again, you know, Matthew 7, I just told you about it. They say, Lord, Lord. He said, I never knew you. Interestingly enough, some of those other depictions in the kingdom of God parables that Jesus gave were very disheartening to anybody who's not truly saved as well. If they're on the outside looking in, Matthew 13:48, it says, when the dragnet was pulled in to get the fish, it says they drew to shore, they sat down, they gathered the good into vessels, and they cast the bad away. Everybody comes into the deep carpet. Okay, when Jesus comes, sheep, goats, wheat, chaff, he's going to deal with that, okay? Matthew 13:49, so at the end of the world, the angels will come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Would you please do this right now? Think of somebody in your life, right now, somebody you know who is not saved, that if the rapture happened today, they're going to be severed from among the just. 13:41 and 42, this is filled with these quick vignettes. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and he shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. So when it says one shall be taken and one shall be left, the guy who was left was the good guy in the tribulation. He's severing out the bad. Just saying. Read it again. Chapter 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom things that offend and them that do iniquity. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, we're in a day where people who are lost do not quiver at this. They do not fear. And that's why Paul, foreseeing that, no doubt, in the Spirit, said, we, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Does it bother you that the person you love might be in a place of gnashing and fire and desperation and punishment eternally? You see, this is where we are. This is where we're supposed to be. It's not something that's new. It's always been where we were supposed to be. It's just we can hear better as we see the world imploding, the world turning in on itself, the globalism coming into its own, and all these people trying to put injections, which also make it possible for you to buy or sell, and eventually will become, because they reckon the economy will become a mark. You can't buy or sell unless you have a mark. We're right there. And the people you know, people you love, kids, grandkids, you're the only one who can help them. This guy I was talking to yesterday for 2 hours, it was a happenstance. I just pulled up a chair. He said, this is really weird because, frankly, I think God's trying to get my attention. I won two things this past week. Two Bibles. So I gave one to my aunt. He said this, he said, and I had my grandson, he's over this weekend, he's staying with me all weekend. First thing he did when he came in, and he has no church background, he said, where did God come from? God is on the move. This is true story. Yesterday, my grandson was asking me about God, and I did not know what to tell him. You know what to tell him. Gives you chills, doesn't it? He is in the room. Matthew 24 says, then shall there be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. I'm telling you, when you realize that there's going to be a regeneration of this world, he's going to retool it. Mountains are going to subside, the islands are going to flee away. Back to our passage in verse 11, it says, they came and said, Lord, Lord, he said, I never knew you. Literally, he says, I know you not, meaning I don't recognize you. Because the Greek word is not know in experience. It means no, I don't see you. I don't even see you. I don't recognize you. The Bible says that when he says this to them, the admonition is turned back to whom? The people he's talking to. Who is he talking to? The disciples. Who do they represent? Everybody who's a disciple. They're all in the room. We're all in the room right now. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted you and me to know. That's why he gave it to us. Watch therefore, for you need know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is a decidedly Jewish gospel. So it's especially true. It's almost like a companion book for the lost people of Israel. Okay? Can you get with me on that? This is to the Jews about their king, about the kingdom that's coming. He's just told them it's going to be like in the days of Noah. He's just told them the abomination of desolation is going to sit where he ought not. He's just told them they're going to persecute you. He just told them when it happens, you who are in Jerusalem, run to the hills. He's talking to a decidedly Jewish people. And now he's telling them at the end of time, some of them might get close, but not quite. Do not mess up here. He's telling them, don't mess up. You need to be born again. Verse 13, it says, watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. By the way, it wouldn't be too hard to know, because we have a word where it actually begins. That last 7 years of tribulation. It begins when the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel for a week. But you say, a week? What do you mean a week? Oh, 7 years. What do you mean 7 years? I mean 7 360-day years. He may come before you get in. People are like, oh, I'll wait. I'll wait and then I'll get in. You don't know enough or you wouldn't be waiting. You don't want to. No, no. It's going to come before you think it's going to come. Except those days be shortened. What I'm saying to you is we know this. Nobody's been slapping us up beside the head while we're trying to listen. Nobody's been stealing our Bible and taking it from us. It's been sitting in our laps. It's been read over. It's been poured over. We've gone through the Bible. We've read it. We've heard it taught and preached. We know things that they need to know. My wife called her sister not long ago. She said, sis, just promise me you will not take the mark. Start there. Don't take the mark. There is this Netflix cartoon where they literally have people, it's cartoonish. These kids are walking in, then all the adults are walking in, and they're putting their hand in a thing, and they're getting a mark on their hand. And they're getting up, and they're walking out, and they're getting in their cars, and they're getting their coffee, mark in their hand. This literally is a cartoon, not made by Christians trying to make a point. This is a cartoon programming kid. That this is the coolest thing you ever have. You will not need a cell phone anymore. You'll be able to use this mark. This is a cartoon. And then all of a sudden, the bad guy shows up and he says, well, we need to go after these people. And they name this group of people. Let's just call them the rebels. We have to go after the rebels. And then all of a sudden, they turn up some volume on something. And all these people thinking, I need to go after the rebels. In their cars, they're being activated. And if you've been hearing what's going on with some of the things that are in this world right now, they're thinking they can control people. And this is in the videos on Netflix that young people would be drawn to. So here we are. If we don't tell them, they won't know. Call them up. Say, don't take the mark. Just don't. We're getting close. I know you may think I'm crazy. That's okay. I love Jesus. I am crazy. Crazy about Jesus. Okay, I am. He's good. He's got this. He knows the end from the beginning. He told us this was coming. Verse 14, it says, and he's given another parable. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. By the way, that's you and me. Now, we're coming in here a little bit. If you watch with it, it's talking about he gave us his goods. And the word for goods is the word that means his possession, his substance. And it literally has the idea of that which is underneath it all. The most important part of his being. Let me see if I can find the actual word. It's hupoarche. Hupo is under, and arche means the first things. He's given you what's underpinning the Christian faith. He's delivered that to his servants. And then he goes away and it says he gave 5 unto one, 2 unto another, 1 unto another. And 5 traded and the 2 traded and the 1 he buried it in his backyard. He was worried, okay?
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.